want to have the discussion. There's a lot of stuff on the LET funds that I went and talked to legal about. The sheriff has a lot of authority. I know the board can only turn down. We can't do much with the LET funds, but I do think that in the future, we probably need to have a discussion with the sheriff on LET funds, because this alone is more than all of our discretionary funds this month. So it's a lot of LET funds that the sheriff has.
I promise you, we didn't plan to spend the whole day talking about Mike Kohler this today, but he does come up twice in two different conversations at the Escambia County meetings. And this one actually goes back about a month, but it was a comment that I had meant to bring up with Sheriff Chip Simmons, who's here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning.
Yeah, so welcome, by the way. Mike Kohler seems to think that there needs to be more oversight by the board on the law enforcement trust fund, the drug seizure money that you guys have. I'm not quite sure why he wants more oversight, but it seems like he does. I mean, you guys say we're going to spend it this way, and they can say yes or no, but they don't get any input into shaping the funds, right? By statute,
not,
right?
Not by statute, but we've always been willing to have a discussion with county commissioners, and I've been working with county commissioners in the past on specific projects or thing people that come to them, and sometimes they refer those people to the sheriff's office. Hey, there are some, you know, they have their own discretionary funds,
right?
And then they have in the past referred them to us for a potential to get law enforcement trust funds. And we've worked with them. So I haven't had a conversation with Commissioner Kohler. I'm not sure exactly what his concern may be. I guess two things from what he said. By statute, the sheriff or the police chief determines where the funds go to, and then it is approved by the governing body, which is the Board of County Commissioners of the City
and signed
Council.
Off by the clerk ultimately, or and the comptroller, off, yeah. Because she has to make the decision: is this lawful, right?
So yeah. There's a lot of hoops. Quite frankly, it goes through our legal process, and then years ago, Sheriff Morgan had an issue with some of the law enforcement trust fund dollars, and I believe that the sheriff's office legal team at the time and the county legal team worked on, and the clerk's office worked on this process, and it's been pretty smooth for my entire 4 years as the sheriff.
Yeah, it just caught me by surprise a little bit. Yeah. Kind of that, you know, why was he raising this objection? Had he talked with you about it? Is this a problem? You know, and if they have ideas, can they come to you? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
They certainly can come to me, yeah. And again, if the issue is the amount of money, it's no secret that we have doubled down on our narcotics arrest, and I'm certainly not going to apologize for seizing drug money and putting it back into use into the community. But I just want to remind your listeners that by statute, it can only be spent for certain items. You know, drug prevention, drug abuse. It could be used for equipment for the sheriff's office itself, but 25% of it has to go towards these drug abuse prevention type of things. So there's a lot of rules regarding where exactly it can be spent. And you know, if the sheer amount of money is an issue, I don't know what to do about that particular issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's
we're not going to stop.
If you had fewer drug dealers, money. You would have less drug seizure money. Right. But then that would mean that your programs are working, which is kind of the idea of both the seizure and of using the money to combat drugs, right? So it's like it all if it works. It makes sense.
And it may just be an understanding issue, and I'm sure I'll have a conversation with Commissioner Kohler, and we'll.
I wanted to ask because it was kind of the first I had heard of that as a concern. We had a couple of incidents, including one overnight that I guess started at UWF after a game. Was this last night, maybe? Do we know more details?
Well, I just got an email from the investigator or the patrol deputy that was working it. We responded to Baptist Hospital where it was a shooting victim. This victim said that while at the University of West Florida, he was shot in the leg after a game. Basketball game, maybe. I'm not sure what game was going on. And so we're working that. It's an unknown assailant, according to the report that I got. There was a crime scene. There was blood in the parking lot of where they said it took place.
Why would there be a shooting at UWF that gets transported to Baptist and not West Florida? That's literally right down the road.
Yeah, he may have driven himself. It's not clear on here. So a shot in the leg may not prevent him from driving or being driven by his friends on the interstate.
And that would normally, UWF has police, that would normally be their thing, but maybe it didn't occur on campus, or maybe it's like he drove himself, so it kind of like where you encountered it was afterwards or whatever, right? So
yeah, I'm going to look into that because UWF, they have their own police department. Right. They handle a lot of things on their own, and Florida Department of Law Enforcement could help them if they needed to. But, again, we all work together.
Of course.
It may be something that was easier for us to take the ball initially.
there was a shooting at a raceway. This was on 29. Is that the one? Am I thinking of the right one? At 29 by I-10?
Right there at Diamond Dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shooting didn't occur there, but the victim was located there. The shooting happened a little farther away from there. Let's see here. It happened on Hampton Road. Anyways, we're still trying to unwind this. This is kind of a complicated story, but the victim says he was shot while in his car at that address on Hampton Road. But then he ended up at Raceway, but the car was still at the location of the shooting itself. So we're looking at this. There's some claims of someone stole a backpack, and it's just a mess. And we're still kind of unwinding, trying to see
a lot of
any
different
video.
Sort of smoke and uncertainty. And
well, there's an allegation that it's self defense, and then it's not self defense, and the shooting happened in a car, and you know. So our investigators, as they always do, they piece this all together and see if it is as we talk
sure.
many times. Is it reasonable to believe that your life was in danger, and if not, then there will be an arrest. So I'm not ruling out anything in this particular case, but we're make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Well, and the very important defense of a backpack statute that's now that I'm sorry.
I think that's the federal law.
Is that
it's the federal backpack the backpack protection act.
On that very inappropriate
joke. We're joking about that. There is not one of those.
No. Anyway, Jake has got traffic on the fives. By the way, great to have you on the show today, Jake.
Yeah, it's great to be here, as always. I'll be here through Thursday. So, all right, looking at our railroad closures in Cantonment this morning, we do have reports of Archer and El Camino now being closed. We're still taking a look at Woodbury Circle. That might close this morning, depending on this weather moving into the area. Roberts and Kingsfield are both back open. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let us know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker, traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. The other incident that happened this week that was more high profile was you guys wound up in a car chase after somebody didn't stop, and that led to a pretty significant arrest, right?
We tried to stop we got a Dodge that fled us on W Street. We chased it for a bit, lost sight of the car, ended up finding the vehicle on Chimes Way skate park is what it says. Where a couple people took off running, but they were caught. Our deputies did a fantastic job. The canine responded and also alerted on the Dodge itself. A large quantity of methamphetamines, mushrooms, and other narcotics were seized. So we charged a couple people this. One of them last name is Brazil. All I have is the information that suspect Brazil. So
okay.
Charged with trafficking in
oxymorphone,
which is over 28 grams. That's a lot, obviously. Possession of controlled substance of meth, and then fleeing and looting, and then resisting by trying to run and getting captured by our fleet-footed deputies.
Well, always good to hear. Hey, one thing, I don't know the answer, so I'm just kind of curious. We have been reporting on the traffic issues that have surrounded the CSX railroad crossings, which, you know, hasn't happened for 8 years, but when it happens, it's a giant catastrophe. And I think from a law enforcement perspective, you know, have you guys has this caused you any problem, either the closures themselves or the massive congestion around the closures? Has that been an issue for you at all?
Well, I mean, obviously the congestion is going to mean that it takes a little longer to get to where we need to go. Mm-hmm, if it's mm-hmm. an emergency, then we can turn the lights on and try to go around the congestion. But if the traffic is stopped, if there's a railroad track that is just, you can't, impassable.
Right.
Then we obviously have to go another route. Our dispatchers do a fantastic job of letting people know if there's a tree down blocking the roadway, and our deputies will kind of know, you know, to avoid that kind of area. Our deputies are as familiar with these districts and that they work in as anyone. So they do a really good job. My point saying all that is, has it affected us? Yes. Just like it would affect anyone else during mm-hmm. you know, rush hour traffic. But I can't say that I've heard, oh my gosh, this thing here is worse than any other thing we've ever seen.
Right.
That's not the case.
Last thing, kind of a cool thing. You are going to be constructing a law enforcement memorial plaza. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're very excited about this. So we've been working with the foundation. In fact, the foundation is paying for this and doing it for the sheriff's office. Our existing memorial, which lies in front of our sheriff's office itself, has served us well for many years. But if you attend one of our law enforcement
memorials, that's the one that's like the little kind of the circular thing
angled,
with the cut angled end that they put the flowers on every time you do the ceremony.
Yeah, it's got a small triangular granite mm-hmm. section, and we put the flowers. It's the centerpiece of our memorial ceremonies. But if you've been to one of our ceremonies, there's not a lot of room there. People standing around because there's not enough seating, not enough area. So we wanted a larger area. It's time to upgrade this. And I thought that, you know, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it right. Let's not do anything mediocre. Let's do what Escambia County deserves, and that's make it better. And so we're going to have a what we call a memorial plaza. One side will be a granite wall with the names of our heroes etched on it, and then the other side will be a seating area because we have a lot of tours of our sheriff's office, and a meeting place, if you will, so people can meet there. And then the center of this will be a large star. So it's going to be two sides. The entire thing will make up the memorial plaza itself. We have been working on this for the last couple of months. The foundation president, Whitney Lucas, and I have been working on this, going back and forth with Hanto and Clark, Miller Caldwell Architects, and they've been kind enough to donate their time and expertise to it. So we plan on a groundbreaking in January. The Sheriff's Foundation is going to start raising money here shortly, where they will sell sponsorships or brick pavers on the plaza side, not on the memorial side. We don't sell those sides.
Don't commercialize the memorial side.
That's correct. Right. So if you go online, if you want to take a look at it, it's on the Sheriff's Office Facebook page. It's a beautiful plaza, if I do say so myself. We have met with the families of the fallen deputies, and they're very excited about it. This will allow us, you won't be able to enter or exit the Sheriff's Office without taking notice of this plaza and without thinking about the sacrifice that these men have made over the course of our 200 plus years.
Now, I do have to ask you.
No.
At once upon a time, the sheriff's office under your stewardship was in possession of a certain kind of, a statue that I think wound up getting shape-shifted and you were going to use for another purpose. Is that in any way resolved? And I assume that has nothing to do with anything that's happening here. It wasn't turned into the star or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with what we have now. The bronze that was used on a former statue is not conducive to something else.
I gotcha.
So we're having to kind of reevaluate exactly, right?
Okay.
Exactly what?
Right.
Because apparently, when you meld it all together, the colors are wrong. But there are no statues in this particular memorial plaza.
Got it. And that's I just get asked that every once in a while. Somebody says, "What's the status?" I'm like, "I don't know. I keep hearing, you know, it's nothing, but and probably never will be." So we'll leave it at that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.